Brian Houseworth in the office of Missouri House Speaker Elijah Haar. He's been very gracious to us at Missouri Knit over the years, many interviews, sometimes on difficult topics. And I thought today we'd just spend a few minutes with him during this break on the special session just to talk about successes, some disappointments he's had as speaker, and then talk about what's happened quickly today and any advice for freshmen in our about 5 minutes together. Mr. Speaker, great to see you again. First of all, success as a speaker. What are you most proud of? What are you most happy about you were able to accomplish as the Missouri House Speaker?
There's a few things I think over the past couple of years that I think were big successes. Obviously, I was very proud of the work we did on the pro-life bill last year. I thought that was a big thing. Prior to me being speaker, I carried also the largest tax cut in Missouri history, and that was a really big one, I think, for our constituencies in the state. Closer to home, I think there was two things. One, just being the first speaker from Springfield was important to recognize Springfield's growing political power in the state. And then secondly, worked really hard last year on bringing Missouri State University's funding on parity with other schools. And so we did a $10 million increase to them to get them to a place where they're funded equally with all the other schools. And that was a big thing for their university to sort of be on the same level as everybody else. It's something we talked about for years, frankly, for decades, and to finally get that done while I was speaker was pretty important.
That's a huge deal. And just quickly on the historical thing, because Bob Priddy and I kind of talked about it, it's a big deal to have a Missouri House Speaker from Springfield. It is a big deal. I was kind of surprised. We've had Cameron. We have Poplar Bluff. Moberly, I covered Steve Gaw. We've had others as well. Never from Springfield until you.
Yeah, and that's, like I said, I think it's sort of emblematic of Springfield and South of Missouri's growing influence on both the Republican Party, but also just the state in general, both politically and economically.
A couple of quick things here in our final few minutes together. Disappointments. I know you haven't gotten everything you've accomplished. What are some of your biggest disappointments, things that you just didn't get through or stuff that happened as speaker that you're disappointed about?
One disappointment I had made a real strong push to try to bring the Hyperloop to Missouri, and they chose West Virginia. We were one of the three finalists that got really close, but we didn't get it. I think in 15 or 20 years, that will have a transformative impact on West Virginia's economy. I think there's a chance they're going to build towards us. We've already got people in Kansas City working on that. But, I think that would have been one thing with our state's history of transportation. I think it would have really jump-started us as being, again, the leader on an issue of transportation importance. And so that was a disappointment, but, great on West Virginia. They had a really united front, and I'm excited to see the work and the thing, especially just recently Hyperloop had their first manned trip, and it's you're talking about really moving into the future of transportation.
It's certainly a big deal, no question about that. Real quick comment on this special session going on today. As I said in my story and on Twitter, I didn't hear any no votes. I know there were some concerns about the Wentzville School District, but really this $1.27 billion supplemental, it passed as far as I could tell without one no vote.
Yeah, we'll find out. We take the roll call this afternoon, but it passed in the Budget Committee yesterday unanimously. A lot of credit goes to Cody Smith and the members of the Budget Committee for the work they did. Dirk Deaton, the new vice chair. They've worked really hard on making sure that we're in a good place, and kudos to the governor's administration. They've worked with us on the CARES money. Scott Fitzpatrick doing a lot of the oversight on how it gets spent. So it's been a successful process so far. We're looking forward to the vote this afternoon.
Two quick questions, and we'll get out of your way here, Mr. Speaker. I know you have to go to the floor. I listened to the debate. I was in the chamber, as were you. Representative Spencer and Representative Mitten said they're hearing that they're coming back again. Anything you're hearing, anything you can share?
Nothing formal, but it looks like I think the governor's going to consider expanding the call of the special session to consider some COVID liability. We've been in long talks with the second floor on that for several weeks now. Those talks have gotten pretty serious. And I think we're at a place where we're comfortable moving forward. And so, that's probably going to mean we're going to come back. And my guess is the House will be in session in December to try to get that done. I keep joking with people, I'll be December 31st and they'll still have me banging the gavel up there. So, but we're excited. I think, we've got a lot of businesses that have reached out and asked for that help. We're trying to get the language pretty tight to make sure that it's, you know, nothing outside of what other states have done. But we've got a lot of the frontline workers that need some help, and we're going to try to get them some.
So it's fair to say that when I leave here, you're hearing that the chances are good he's going to expand that special session to include COVID liability, which Dan Meehan talked to me on Friday. He wants that.
Yeah, and like I said, we've heard it from members, we've heard it from businesses, we've heard it from hospitals. That's my anticipation. Obviously, it's the governor's decision to make, but the House stands ready to do the work if he wants to do that.
Gotcha. Final question, real quick. The freshman tour is going on right now. I saw a lot of them, men and women outside. They're taking their tour. You remember doing that 8 years ago. Any advice for them as they enter into what can be a very difficult job?
Two pieces of advice, actually three. First, every moment that you're here, the number one thing in this building is relationships. The people you meet on freshman tour, I developed lifelong friendships with them. We started a text thread on the freshman tour that we're still texting on this day. Seniors like Rocky Miller and Holly Rader and Sean Rhodes and Glenn Kolkmeyer, that they're from different parts of the state, different ages, but those relationships have been tremendous. Second thing is never forget where you're from. Think about your constituents. Think about your family. When you go home, because we are all going to go home at some point, they're the people that you're going to live with. And as much fun as you can have in Jeff City and as interesting as it can be, you got to remember that when you go home, you got to take care of those people because they're going to be the ones to take care of you. Third and finally, never take a day where you don't appreciate the job that we have. When you step onto the floor of the House, when you push that button, it's a really awesome responsibility, and it's a thing that very few people in our state get the chance to do. So never take a day where you don't remember and appreciate the chance to be on the floor.
I know you're super busy. Is there anything you'd like to add, Mr. Speaker? Feel free.
You know, I think outside of the building, there's a lot of people that think, you know, oh, there's bad people in the building, there's people doing it for wrong reasons. I think by and large, most everybody I've worked with in the House on either side, by and large, most of them are here for the right reasons. We disagree on issues, we disagree on how to get things done, but these are good and decent people. And I wish that more people in the state had the opportunity to work with some of these people because they are genuinely good and decent people trying to do the best thing.
And there's a lot of votes, and we talk about it, but a lot of people, you know, last point I make, there's a lot of bills that pass 130-0. They just don't get the headlines sometimes.
They don't. And the bills that don't pass 130-0, the ones that we fight on, that's the form of the republic we have, that there's diverse viewpoints, and we dramatically engage those viewpoints, and we get to the best product possible. But it's been a really great experience. I tell everybody I know, I couldn't imagine a better experience doing 8 years. You know, I didn't lose a race. I got to be a chairman of a committee and be a speaker of the House. You know, you get to meet the president in the West Wing, and you get to do things you would have never thought possible before. So it's really cool, and I'm very, very honored to have this.
It's always great to see you.
Hey, thanks so much, Brian.